It's season six.
Season six, what?
I know, six seasons.
That's ridiculous.
I gotta say, we've gotta make it to seven because seven's one of my lucky numbers.
Well, I think we should make it to seven because look, I never imagined anyone would listen till six. So we may as well just keep going.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm having a good time.
Absolutely. Three and five are my favorite numbers, so maybe we should go to season 35 or 53.
Season 35. I mean, that is an ambition to say. I mean, that is, you're not messing about when you say that.
I mean, sure, by 35 years from now, maybe podcasts won't be a thing.
Right. We may have to do more than one season a year if we're going to go for 35.
Fair. That's fair.
I mean, yeah, quite, that's, you know, fair. I mean, I know I look young.
That's what I was just thinking. Absolutely.
Oh my goodness. How was your summer, mate? Did you have a nice summer?
I had a beautiful summer. It was really nice. Yeah. Fairly, you know, like realistic work-wise. You know, I wanted to just say slow, but then I realized that perhaps my barometer is really off. So maybe it was actually just reasonable, you know? So it was a great summer work-wise. You know, we had some good clients and some good work. And I got to take my son to Europe. We did a special trip for his 18th birthday, which is right on COVID. So he's actually 20.
Wait. Tuesday went Euro railing.
I did. It was the best. We had so much fun. I feel like, did we talk about this on a podcast before?
I don't know.
Anyway, we did. We had so much fun. My son is totally into public transit, especially trains. And so we did a Euro rail trip where we did 3 days in Berlin, 3 days in Paris, and 3 days in Barcelona. And we adored it. Every city we did, the first day we did a bike tour. So we got to like a guided bike tour. So we got to see what was happening all over the city. And then we just like picked like two or three key things to do in every city. And it was lovely. It was lovely.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
We didn't travel. We had some friends from England come to us. So some friends of England and their family came over and we did a week in Montreal together.
Oh, wow.
Which was consistently the best food I've had in a long time. Like every single restaurant we went to was a hit. Like,
wow.
And these friends of ours, they like to eat a good dinner, you know? I mean, okay. So it was amazing. And then, and the vibe of the city was so cool. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we came back here and we just hung out for a week, going to waterfalls and fishing and swimming in the sea. And that was really, really nice for a week. It was nice. And then my mate John was over. I've known since I was 8 years old. And so he was over for 4 days. And like in between all of that, I got some time alone and some time in it. I actually came back pretty relaxed.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
I came back pretty relaxed. And it wasn't that it wasn't, you have that phrase, a change is as good as a rest. You know, I got a lot of rest, but also it was like you say, it was a real change of pace, you know. Yeah. I was definitely doing things through the holiday, but I came back really kind of refreshed and fully committed to staying relaxed and enjoying my life, even in the midst of a very, very, very busy fall.
Nice.
So and it's good. It's a good reminder. I just constantly keep being like, oh yeah, I'm like, just relax and enjoy it, Tim. And then my shoulders kind of drop and I'm like, oh yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, I've heard about these footballers sometimes who like soccer players, sorry, footballers. Anyway, footballers. There was this one, US footballer who used to wear a hairband on her wrist because sometimes she'd lose focus because she'd get upset with the players or the referees. And so she would like snap the hairband on her wrist as a way of like bringing herself back into the moment and being focused on the game, you know? And so it's a little bit like that for me. I've got this like intention that's like snapping the hairband on my wrist when I start getting all wound up or amped up. And I'm like, oh yeah. Well, I knew it was going to be busy and my intention was just to relax and enjoy it anyway. That's right. It's nice.
Well, I love that. And I want to share it with the listeners that Tim and I just did a week of work together in Nova Scotia. And it was really relaxed. I just want to, you know, that was definitely the ethos of just like plenty to do, but we can do this in a relaxed way. It was a really wonderful week.
It's nice, eh?
Yeah, I love bringing that relaxation to the work. I think part of it is this for me, like the actual ability to slow down this summer, right? Get my feet under me a little bit, some of its age, just like, I don't want to work that way anymore. You know what I mean? Just like kind of, and maybe I actually can't work that way anymore.
Yeah. And some there's, of it there's like, a whole different set of constraints, isn't there, when you get older?
It's just yeah. true. Yeah. Yeah. You know? Totally. And then maybe part of it, and we've talked about this a lot, is my own like internal compass and sense of worth. Like I love the work, happy to do it. But you know what? I'm a pretty worthwhile human being outside of it. And so like, you know, the work no longer becomes a mechanism for proving, which leads to some, and look, I'm not perfect at this, people, but you know, like it's just happening. It's just happening.
I think that's huge. Mm-hmm. I think that's huge. If your work isn't the primary source of your validation and self-worth, if that starts being something you're finding as a resource inside yourself as opposed to out of yourself.
Exactly.
Oh, I think that's a huge game changer. It's been a massive game changer for me. I mean, all the work I've been doing, both in therapy and in my own life. I mean, when you start turning the tables on that level, I think it's a real game changer. Self-knowledge, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
It's not about like being in equanimity the whole time, but the more you get to know yourself, the more you find ways to live with yourself and be relaxed with who you are. I love that.
Yeah. I've been thinking about this idea recently. I said to you, and you might laugh just because yesterday, it was a little bit of an emotional mess, but I've been working with this idea of like being too old to cope.
Tuesday.
Like,
wait, how old are you?
49.
I'm 48.
Yeah. I feel like the first part, like in your childhood and the first part of your young adulthood, like you're building all of this coping, right? Like life comes at you, have anxiety, you're building all this coping. And then like you go to therapy and you realize like what coping was helpful and you try to like insert new coping, more responsive, more adaptive, more healthy coping. But I started to be like, wait, I think I'm old enough to like actually not need to cope. Right? Like I actually just need to actually feel the feeling and experience it and be disoriented by it and like be upset by it. And then like, you know, you just said like, and then like actually just trust that myself as a 49-year-old woman will get through it. Right? Yeah. Like, so like not to cope, not to be like, oh, that's not true. Or let me turn my thinking around or let me meditate. Or I mean, like all of those things are amazing and great and I'm not going to stop doing them. But also just like, maybe I can just trust myself to be in this storm.
Yeah.
And there'll be another side.
Don't fix it, feel it.
Yeah.
Someone said to me once.
Oh, well, I thought you were talking about 20-year-old Mary who somehow knew that.
Yeah, no, was told that. I mean, it's taken me, you know. You get given these gems sometimes when you're a young person and then, yeah. I like to take, you know, things you say and then bring it down to short sentences to mansplain you. I feel like that's really.
That's my favorite too.
I don't just like to mansplain. I like to mansplain into, you know, bite size bits that could be on advertising, for example.
Great. Look, I'm grateful. Maybe we should just put it on our website. I don't know. I don't feel offended. Oh, your poor chest.
All right, listen up. We've got a season 6 coming in the pipeline. Hey, listen, folks. I'm glad if you are still listening. First of all, thank you. Thank you for staying with us through this rather, vicissitudinal beginning to our season 6. Mm-hmm. Hey. Got to get vicissitudes in there early.
Right.
And so we've got kind of like three key series within the pod in season 6. We've got changing community, changing planet, and changing spirit. And so there's kind of three sections of guests we're inviting for kind of conversation and dialogue with us. And the first one, changing community, is obviously about people who are working and leading within community in some way. So do you want to say a little bit about that, Chus?
Yeah, I love it. And so these three pieces, right? Changing community, changing spirit, changing planet, they can be like thought of as like where people are focusing the scale of their work. And of course, our guests will often be working across a variety of scales. But this changing community piece is folks who are deeply rooted in either the place they live, right? Like a geographic community, or in like their learning community, right? But they find themselves in something they can feel and describe as a community. And so how they make change in that place where they stay and belong, right? So much of our work as consultants is like kind of going in and then coming back out, right? But these folks are actually deeply rooted in their communities. And so talk about making change there.
Yeah, it's awesome. And we've got everything from like a community funder's perspective to people who are leading awesome community initiatives where they live. Of course, there's a Chris Corrigan coming in talking about TSS Rovers, which is a soccer club, that's a fan-owned soccer club in Canada, which is really exciting, but a wonderful example of community. And I'm so passionate about this because it's such a huge part of my life, you know, with the kind of community organizing I'm doing around the soccer club here. We just had all ages on the field, hundreds of people last weekend, you know. We had folks up from the nursing home joining in, you know, we had basketball games going, we had a run club going, we had over 230 kids go through programming. People were three deep around the edges of two sides of the field, eating burgers, playing raffles. One of the fellas, Mateus from Mateus Bistro, he kind of offered up and did the burgers and everything. He sold over 300 meals, not sold. We gave away 300 meals over the day. And me and him were just chatting and just saying like how much of an antidote to so much of what we see on the news and experience like that is, you know, like what an antidote to greed or selfish leadership or kind of like fear. Or, you know, like it's such an antidote to be in an environment like that, that is a community getting together and just, you know, feeding off itself and with itself in a really loving way, you know, of all ages. So there's something about community, I think, that can be an antidote to some of the things that can be quite difficult to digest in today's world, you know?
That's right. And I don't know if you're recalling at this moment, but we're having Francis on and I'm interviewing the two of you about this soccer club.
Ooh,
and
really?
What's happening in the community. So we're going to hear more
about
that. That's
a bit frightening.
No, I think it's very exciting. I mean, look at that reframe.
Yes, I'm very excited. That's awesome. I love it. We've got to get better practice at talking about the soccer club too, because you know it's good. It's a good thing to be doing it, but it's increasingly important we share the story. Yeah, that's awesome.
Absolutely. And then we'll do something about changing planet, right?
Changing
we're going to talk just in the way that we have for I think the last couple of years in our interview series. We're going to talk with big thinkers, right? Folks who are thinking about change on a very large scale. We're going to have Zaid Hassan back. Folks loved that interview. Mm-hmm. We're going to have some folks from Rios in Brazil talking about their large scale work. We have not forgotten. And in fact, what I love about this season is it is across scales. And so we have not forgotten that we want to talk about their big movements happening across the globe and how are people contending with trying to make large scale change at this moment of kind of chaos and disorientation. And so what can we learn from those folks who are taking it on right full face, have said, yep, let's look at big change.
It's so cool, eh? And I'm excited too, because I mean, the portfolio of my type of work has changed so radically in the last year, where like 80% of my work now is around climate change, is really, you know, and which I love it. But talk about a changing planet, you know, what we're seeing in terms of the kind of like rapidity of the environmental impacts now. I'm really looking forward to this. Then we've got changing spirit.
Yay!
Right?
Yeah.
You know, so just a little bit of getting under the hood, right? What's changing in our hearts? Who are the people who are really leading on the unseen level of human interaction or interaction with spirit or place? So it's exciting to be bringing those folks into the conversation too. We really wanted to acknowledge this kind of like community organizing, the big scale thinking, but also the depth that we have found is required to lead and sustain any kind of change out there in the world. And so I'm looking forward to getting into those conversations too.
Absolutely. You know, the whole thing, the umbrella of all of it is spirit at work, right? So that's what we're calling season six, your spirit at work, whether you're changing community, changing the planet, or changing spirit. We are very excited to kind of talk about how change happens and deepen that conversation. And so that is what we are up to this season.
Brilliant. Well, enjoy us while you can, because we're about to close off. Any final witticisms from either of us? No, we're now. See, we're all full of it in the beginning.
I know.
And now we get to the end. We've got nothing useful to say. Other than you should tune in for season 6. It's going to be absolutely brilliant. And we're excited to be coming into your ears again. And thanks for having us in your world and your life in the way that you do.
Thank you. See you soon.